You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Department of Conservation has reported huge numbers of walkers using New Zealand's Great Walks this summer. Due to the strain this puts on docks' limited resources, they have said that they may consider charging a differential fee for the Great Walks. While DOC considers the increased popularity to be a positive thing, some groups of trampers aren't too happy about the number of people using the walks. Federated Mountain Club's Vice President Jan Finlayson spoke to me today, and we talked about the impact of the Great Walks' renewed popularity.
Well, you really need to go back a wee bit further and consider how we project ourselves to the rest of the world, what our tourism industry is all about. Mm-hmm. Who are we asking to come here, on what principles? FMC has been calling for a task force to decide what our tourism industry is really about, what we want from our tourism industry. That bit's really important. You know, we need to have those philosophical pillars to build a strategy around. So we will be calling on Tourism Minister Paula Bennett to establish a task force, which we would very much like to be a part of right from the start, to establish these things and to make a strategy, to build a plan. As far as the Great Walks go, that's a little bit further down the track, and we've been pretty vocal saying actually differentials aren't going to make terribly much difference. You know, it's really treating symptoms there, and I think probably treating those symptoms without a decent strategy is going to be a very difficult thing to do. So we've been opposed to the idea of differentials just because they would be so incredibly difficult to implement. You can imagine so many different ways around a differential charge as a foreigner wanting to come here and do a great walk, and we think that probably any sort of mechanism to allow that to happen would be very expensive. But on top of that, it would also cast a shadow over our welcoming culture, and we don't want to do that. There might be a few mechanisms that could work, such as, you know, what's been going through my head recently is perhaps a mechanical solution such as a Ministry of Education booking period prior to opening bookings that would allow Kiwi school groups to get in, for example. There might be a few small things like that. But there again, you know, I've got to say we need to go back to the big issues and find out what our philosophy is on what we want from tourism. I think we're needing lower volume, longer stay, lower impact, quieter tourism. Doesn't have to mean less money for New Zealand, but it will mean that it will be nicer for everybody, that's us and visitors as well. You know, coming a few steps away from having established principles, a good philosophical base, I think there'll be a whole lot of quite big and small scale solutions to issues. Tourism in New Zealand obviously needs to think about how they're projecting us. So, for example, as projecting us as a place where everybody can freedom camp in solitude is just wrong. You know, that they need to stop doing that. Another thing might be that, for example, this is a fairly small-scale thing, but DOC could stop advertising the Great Walks as places where it's always summer and pleasant, you know, because they're not cake walks and they're very frequently quite inclement. So those are examples.
And with the reports of a lot of waste and bad treatment of the walks recently, what do you think is sort of the blame for this? Is it how DOC is projecting these walks to people?
It's possibly a lack of understanding of what our backcountry is all about on the part of those people who are coming here. I wouldn't like to speculate on that, but it's the kind of thing that, you know, that's a small problem that some good messaging is going to help, I suspect.
So the director of FMC, he said in the RNZ article this morning that Kiwis are being pushed out of their own backcountry. Do you have any idea of what that statement really sort of means?
Well, one of the most important things that people need to understand is how severely and chronically DOC has been underfunded. So DOC just needs more money, much, much more. At present, it receives a budget of about half what we spend on type 2 diabetes. It's about two-thirds of what we spend on obesity. It really is a severe shortage, and so they need that to enable them to do the conservation work that they're meant to do by statute, and they need it to look after our backcountry and our recreation. Just bearing in mind that the Conservation Act obliges the department to look after natural and historic conservation, and it requires them to foster recreation and to allow tourism. And it's a very important hierarchy that needs to be borne in mind. And it's that basic folk conservation funding that is essential to getting those two main priorities seen to.
Is there any sentiment from FMC that New Zealanders should sort of have priority, the, like you said, extended amount of times to stay there, and maybe New Zealand kids getting to book in early? Is there any sort of sentiment that New Zealanders should get priority compared to people coming from other countries for tourism?
Yeah, well, you know, as I said, differentials would be very, very hard and very expensive to run, I suspect, and pretty unwelcoming as well. But yes, there might be some mechanisms by which we could allow Kiwi children, for example, to have some priority, and because that would be fairly easy through the Ministry of Education. This is just an idea that's popping off my head. There'll probably be other mechanisms by which we could do that also. But really, we need to go back, as I said, to that fundamental place where we decide what we want from our tourism industry. Always imagining, if it stopped tomorrow, if geopolitics got us, if the Alpine Fault got us, if anything like that stopped tourism in its tracks, would we be happy with what remained? And to me, you know, if we had a few extra toilet box and car parks, that it might be unsightly, but it wouldn't be a problem. But if we have something that goes deeper into our backcountry, into the ownership and control of our backcountry, then that would be a serious thing that we would have to live with for a long time, and it would be inimical to our heritage, our backcountry heritage, our national character. We don't want that. Yet we need to have this deep discussion, spend some time doing it, and then make a strategy which runs true to our principles.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.